Good. Okay, Saints. I just have a bit of encouragement. Timothy called me just as I was walking in the house from getting home from work, and so it was his number, and he answered by, "This is a test of your spontaneity." And so here I am. I passed, I think. At least I don't think he determined the outcome as the success, just the willingness. So I'm here. When he asked if I would share something and lead the prayer or the break up into prayer, I certainly agreed. As our brother Oy, I don't say it like him. He says, "I want to make Jesus famous." Is that what he said on that Friday night? The brother from Cambodia. He said, "I just want to make Jesus famous." And I always want to be available to talk about the Lord when asked. Want to be available when not asked. And but the reality was, the word that came to my mind when he asked was, well, one thing I think could fill the time if I obeyed the verse, confess your transgressions one to another. I said, but then he only gave me 20 minutes, so I couldn't fit it. So, but it got me thinking, and I've been thinking about this before, about the word confession, and about that verse that says, confess, let me just read it, it's James 5:16, be confessing your transgressions to one another. Okay, and the sentence doesn't stop there. But the practical side of me is, why? Why would we share our dirt, our failures, our weakness with one another? Why would we do that? How is that uplifting? If that is the goal, maybe it's not the goal. But I finished the verse, and as I was meditating on it, it says, be confessing your transgressions to one another, and be praying for each other, that so that you may be healed. And we're going to go back before that, and we're going to read past that a little bit later. But, you know, the thoughts that just come into your mind is, oh, because misery loves company, you know, and you can wallow in your failures together. And I don't think it's that. I quickly ruled that one out. But it also, as thinking of that verse, a verse that I teach in Sunday school often, that when I learned it and understood it, is dynamic to the truth that we find in the gospel, and that's 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So, we're to confess sins, transgressions, we're to do it to each other, and we're to do it to the Lord. There's got to be a connection there. And so, I just want to ponder together this thought. What does confession do? What's another way you can take confession? You know, and as I'm looking through the concordance, there's confession of sin, and then there's confession of Christ. You know, one's to the positive, one's utterly negative in one sense, but they're both confessing. And what confession does is reveals your heart. Okay? And that's why I think confessing sin one to another is allowing maybe even yourself to see that you're agreeing with your state of failure. Okay, you're agreeing that it is a shortcoming. You're open enough to share with your trusted person. I wouldn't go say air your laundry, you know, your dirty laundry with the world, but it's one with another. We're talking about brethren here, okay? We're saying, I'm failing in this point. this point is righteousness here, and I'm falling short of that, and maybe it's continual. What is that going to prompt? I'm going to be jumping around because I'll just go where my mind goes. But what does that prompt the hearer? Okay? Probably you're sharing with somebody who you know knows you. Okay? They're not surprised. Okay? Definitely 1 John 1:9. Nope, no surprise there. Okay? You're confessing to the Lord that you've sinned. What's his response? Faithful and just to forgive. Okay? He's not surprised either. Not at all. When you're sharing your transgressions, your shortcomings, your sins with one another, you're probably doing it with somebody that you trust. Okay? I would encourage that. Their reaction, their response should be prayer. I think it's interesting, the end of that verse. Be confessing your transgressions to one another and be praying for each other so that you may be healed. The result of the sharing is, should be, prayer. You're not desiring to be in sin. Your friend or brother or sister should not be desiring that. And the result of that should be then prayer for that confession, for that failure, for that maybe lifestyle that you're trying to escape, for the sin that dogs you. Okay? I want to keep reading now. And be praying for one each other so that you may be healed. An entreaty of a righteous person being effectual is very mighty. This is the LMT. I think the version we know is, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's the version I know. Here's the verses that come to mind when I think about prayer. And I was in our group, I was praying this first thing. If we pray according to the will of God, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have what we're asking. So, when you're praying for somebody who's confessing a sin, what's God's desire on that? You're saying, Father, I lift up this brother to you who's failed, has admitted it. I know he's made righteous before you. And he wants to, because your word says it in 1 John 1:9, he's cleansed. Okay? So, what's his desire for us? It's to live in righteousness. It's to succeed and walk by faith. So we know his will is not for us to fail. So when we pray for a brother or sister who has confessed sin, and we're praying for their righteous walk, we know that we're praying the will of God for that person. And we know that it's not just a, hey, let's toss this up and see what happens. We know that they're equipped. Because in one of the Peters, first or second, I can't remember, he has equipped us for everything to live godly and righteously before him. His divine power has given us everything that we need for righteousness and godliness. So you're understanding the truth in His Word that already says, this is what I want you to pray. Because this is my will for this person to live righteously and walk humbly before me. This is how we should be walking in the light. So, do we do this? I'm going to say I don't. Maybe you guys do. But it was on my mind, like, I don't think we confess one to another like we should. And I'm going to say that if you're not reaping the benefit that comes from that. Okay? Do you want to get out of whatever the sin is or the transgression of His righteousness is here, I know I fall short here. You want to get out of that? Talk to somebody and confess it, that I'm here and I want to be here. so that you may be healed. It's just one of those, like, it's always been there in front of us. I think it's so easy. I think it's His design. We were at scripture reading on Monday night and reading in the Psalms. And I think it's funny. There were two verses I shared, and it seemed like that hit me, and it seemed like they were like those verses that jabbed others in the same reading time. One of them, I think, was Psalm 78, and it was, 78, unite the heart. Yeah. What? I don't think, Meta. Was it? Yes. Is it 86? I didn't think we were in 86, but I'll trust you because that is the psalm. Unite my heart. Okay? And I'm going somewhere with this, with the prayer. But unite my heart. And what was stinging to me was my heart's divided. It needs, my one heart has these portions in it that are at war. Like, and it's, unite my heart that I might fear you, or in the fear of the Yahweh. And we were talking about that and just how that was hitting us. And Alex was there, and I said, so be praying for Alex. Just joking that he needed it, not me. And Alex's response was, yeah, yeah, I want you to pray for me because that's what I need. And that's the thing that I'm getting, like, that this is showing me. I got this struggle, and I think Alex and I, he shared a couple Saturdays ago at the Harvest Fest just about distractions and time, and your focus is off, and that's all paraphrased, but those are things that I'm like, yep, 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 me too. And if you're then going to each other and saying, hey, I'm failing this week so far. It's been inundated with life, not necessarily sin, but I'm falling from this pursuit that I want to be. Hey, praying. The response from that person should be, I'll pray legitimately. Don't give the, well, whatever. You know, the praying, you know, the Facebook response, you know. I like that. It's great. You know what I mean? I'm saying genuinely, because you know that it's going to be reciprocated when you have something of that nature too. And so let's keep reading here, because I love this. Elijah, this is right after the entreaty of a righteous person being effectual, is very mighty. Elijah was a man of like sufferings to us, and he prayed with a prayer for it not to rain. And it didn't rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And again he prayed, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced fruit. That story, I love it. But that's like the epitome of pray according to the will of God, and you have what you ask. Okay? Elijah is in tune with the Creator of the universe, and it's put on his heart as a prophet, pray that it doesn't rain. Okay? It doesn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. The day that it does rain, we know the story with Elijah versus all the prophets of Baal, and they're cutting themselves, and he's mocking them, and they flood his sacrifice, and it lights up, and there's not a cloud in the sky. Reminds you the end of that story. And he prays. He's not looking like, are you sure, God? Are you sure? It's like, no. He's praying the will of God. God wants us in fellowship with Him. Okay? He wants fellowship. That's why 1 John 1:9, I want to read 1 John 1:9. But actually, I want to read a little before it. If you want to go there, you can follow. We're going to start at verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Okay. What, if you're confessing sin, what aren't you doing? We're not lying that we're not having trouble. You kind of follow me here? You're not identifying, I'm here and I'm walking with the Lord. But really, the only walk is that your walk puts you in a seat with others that are walking with the Lord. And really, your heart is darkness. Okay, we're lying to ourselves at this point. Okay, so let me read that again. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. So it's a given that there's some cleansing that had to go on and that is going on. It's not this false righteousness that you need. You're one of those that still needs cleansing. Okay. No, we all need it if we're honest. Okay. And again, I'm not saying that you can't live above sin. We can. His divine power has given us everything we need. But there's like this jockeying of yes and yes. Both of these are true and they don't exclude each other. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So he's talking about, right before that, if we're walking in light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with the light and there's no darkness in us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So it's like you tie all those three verses together. Okay, there's the guy that's tricking himself and lying to himself. Okay, let's point that out. There's the guy that is, for a time, could be walking in light and truth, and we should and we could. But if we say we don't have sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Okay, let's the zinger 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, I'll just finish the chapter. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So we have sinned, we do sin, and here's the out. If we confess, we're cleansed from sin. All those are true. Okay? That's truth and the will of God, just like it was for rain to be stopped for 3.5 years. Which one's harder for God? I tell you, it seems like more miraculous to have it rain and then it after 3.5 years. Which one did He have to do more for? The dealing with sin. Okay? His desire for us, His will for us to have, as His chosen people, to have a relationship with Him is so much bigger, so much more involved, so much more intimate than no rain for 3.5 years. Both are making points and glorifying, you know, bringing glory to Yahweh, the one true God. Both are doing that. But this one involving us, I'm making the comparison of this. Both are His will. And when we're praying for each other, and how do we pray for each other if we don't know what to pray for? Okay? I'm telling you, I could stand here for the 20 minutes and just confess. If I really dug, let my mind get unclouded for my self-righteousness. If I remove self-righteousness, and shone light on my true walk, I'd be up here for a long time. Okay, and maybe you all say that. And probably we should be our most or worst critics. But when we take this truth in 1 John 1:9 and we know that we can walk again, immediate, when you're confessing to one another, in essence, you're already, because you can't confess one to another with your mind. Right? Did you hear me? Okay. See, you can't do that. The Lord can. Okay? So before I would speak, if I'm going to talk to Dave, before I speak, in my heart, God always already knows that I've confessed it. Is that true? I mean, I'm kind of rolling off the cuff with that. But He already knows. So I'm already cleansed. Okay? So my fellowship is restored in that regard. Okay? When I confess it one to another, or you to me, or you to each other, that's telling the other person, now they know. Okay? You've identified it. They should not judge you. Why would they judge you? If they judge you, judge according to Scripture that you have been made righteous and cleansed from all unrighteousness. That's how they should judge you on a confession. Is that true? I think so. I think that's what the Scripture would teach. Okay, that's the judgment that should come, not a, oh, that's pretty bad. You know, I didn't think, I just saw you come in all the time and, you know, I can't wait. Okay? But that's how we react. Our reality should be, wow, you've been brought to a right understanding before the Lord about your situation. Now you're restored with Him. I'm going to pray that you stay in that walk, because right now, You're good. Right now you're good. I'm going to pray that you continue in that. That's amazing to me. That's the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We're not called on to make it not rain. I mean, maybe someday somebody will be. And it'll glorify God as He sees fit. But we are called to confess to one another, to lift each other up, so that we can walk rightly before God, and what I think, and this closes it out, what I think then that does is brings on the next confession, and that's to confess Christ, because it's Him. It's Him that brings it to mind. It's His light that shows us our unrighteousness. It's His standard that makes what we do unrighteous. So that's what I think happens. And so if we want to be walking, loving, and in fellowship with Him and helping each other do it, I say, let's increase, confess one to another our transgression. Know that we're right with God at that point. Each other are. Build each other up. Hold each other up. And then confess this great work that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did to enable that to be truth that we can declare to each other and ultimately to the world, because we all need it. So be encouraged with that and be confessing. Okay. Jesus is worthy of that life. Amen.